So when you look back on life, do you notice any missed opportunities? Do you notice any missed opportunities? I mean, maybe you were an excellent athlete but needed to work to support your family. Maybe you were a capable student and a good artist, but that architectural program just had limited seats. Maybe you had intended to work overseas, but you just couldn't raise the funds to get over there. Most of us can name at least a couple missed opportunities. But have you ever considered whether you've been looking at life, living life, the wrong way? That thus far, the way you've been living has had the wrong focus and intent? A number of years ago, while I was still living in Vancouver, a man called my church and asked if I would visit him. When I entered his lavish home, I could see that he had been pretty good with money. When I met his wife, dare I say trophy wife, and heard about some of their adventures, it was clear he had achieved success in the world's eyes. But here was the man, sick and dying, and there was no peace about him. As he was looking back on his life, as he was reflecting on life, he was concerned. That's what he wanted to talk to me about. He was concerned that he had missed out. That in all his pursuits and achievements, he had somehow forfeited his soul. Today is the last Sunday before we enter the season of Lent. Ash Wednesday is coming up this week. During Lent, we reflect on the human condition and the costly salvation God offers us in Jesus. In the narrative lectionary, that lectionary that I've been following this past year, we turn to a different section of the gospel. I mean, thus far, we've been hearing Jesus teach, perform miracles, and now he's turning his face towards Jerusalem. He's beginning that long journey towards the cross, to that purpose for which he was born. We see this in today's reading, a reading that follows Peter's famous declaration about Jesus being the Messiah. Well, after Peter had made that affirmation, we are told that Jesus began teaching his disciples, teaching them that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Well, if Peter got Jesus' identity right, he got Jesus' travel plans quite wrong. I mean, he tries scolding Jesus, saying, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But while Jesus had affirmed Peter earlier, Jesus now rebukes him. Jesus tells Peter that he isn't paying attention to the plans of God. Now, we may think that Peter is a little thick-headed, but just consider what Jesus continues to say. Jesus tells the disciples that they also need to take up their crosses and follow him. He tells them that whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me will find it. Some people think Peter was a little thick-headed. I think he was just a little quicker than the rest of them. I mean, he saw clearly that if Jesus was taking a difficult path, that he would be invited to join him. I mean, if Jesus entered Jerusalem and just installed himself as king, well, Peter would end up being the prime minister sitting beside him. But if Jesus took a path to execution, then what would happen to Peter and to the rest of them? What do you think about that call to discipleship? Are you willing to lose life to find it? Now, I think it's important to note that when Jesus calls us to take up our crosses, he's not inviting us to become martyrs, at least not most of us. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus speaks to his disciples saying, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." That's right, take up a cross daily. That means you've got to be alive the next day to do it again, right? But if taking up a cross doesn't mean joining Jesus in a degrading, humiliating walk to a terrible death, neither does it mean to stoically carry an individual burden. Well, this arthritis is my cross to bear. Or that son of mine who just never has learned to manage his money, that's just my cross to bear. Or this kid who just won't sit still for his teachers, that's my cross to bear. This is not what Jesus is talking about. As one commentator notes, the disciple who takes up the cross is one who is willing to surrender pride, ego, status, comfort, even life for the sake of the kingdom of God. They must be willing to surrender their own self-centered ambitions, goals, and lifestyles for the way demonstrated by Jesus. We don't have to die, right? But I don't think that makes it any easier. Like, giving up our egos, surrendering our ambitions. I mean, we might just find ourselves right alongside Peter, arguing with Jesus. Jesus, there's got to be another way. We might even be content that, Jesus, if you've got to go that way, good for you, good for you. But you know what? I'm not sure I want to follow that way. That path is difficult. That pathway is hard. I mean, we just thought that it was about coming to church and doing the odd good deed, right? But now we're hearing straight from the mouth of Jesus that following him requires death. Death to our egos, death to our ambitions. Can you see why that people aren't swarming to church on a Sunday morning? I mean, can this word be heard in the church, let alone the surrounding culture, right? I mean, can we accept that purposeful life comes by dying to the well-stroked ego, and that fulfillment is the secret learned through servanthood? It's hard to believe that anyone would be up for this challenge. And yet, spend some time talking with people who have had success as the world sees it. I mean, that dying gentleman I met in Vancouver wasn't ruining the fact that he didn't go to more far-off destinations or stay in better hotels. At the end of his life, he was worried that he had missed out on a better life, a more meaningful, purposeful life, because he was so set and focused on his own agenda that he had no space, no time for what God was wanting to do. Jesus knew that there was a better life out there found in God's purposes, even if the road to get there was going to be difficult. Remember what he said to his disciples? He said he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, and that he must be killed, but on the third day, what? On the third day, be raised to life. It's not about suffering. It's about willing to take a difficult path to achieve God's good purposes. So what do you think as we enter into the season of Lent? Are you committed to your own way of living? Those five goals, that implicit goals that you haven't even written down, but you know they're things that you're looking to achieve in life, or are those set in stone? Or are you willing to concede that Jesus might know something, that he might know something about what life is about, what meaningful, purposeful existence is about, where we truly find life is? Will you follow him along that way if it means death to get there? The good news is that even today, Jesus is welcoming new recruits, and he doesn't discriminate. He doesn't discriminate when it comes to past performance. I mean, you may have a very bad resume. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. I mean, sometimes people are sitting in the pew for 70 years before the penny actually drops. Today, you can test him out and see if Jesus knows where true life is found. Thanks be to God. Amen.